on angels tonight. By the way, turn the Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. While you're turning, I'll say, no, Ed McMahon did not come to my house yesterday. He looked, he couldn't find it, so he took somebody else. I found it anyways, afterward. I didn't know if I wanted it anyways. I thought they were going to give me $10 million. No, they only give you $225,000 every year for 29 years. I can't even live that long. The rapture's going to come before that. I told them to keep it. Then the last 30th year, they give you $3 million. Who's even going to be here? $3,450,000 or something. Who in the world's going to be around 30 years from now? Amen? Then they sent me an email last night. Bud said, look, watch March 10th. You might win $1,000, a consolation. I said, forget it, pal. You didn't give me the full thing. That's about buy some popcorn at the ball game, wouldn't it? Well, we can't put the $5 million in like I wanted. Well, one thing good, the government didn't get the tax from me, though. We can't start yet, but we will. The Lord has another way of doing it, amen? It still doesn't stop me knowing that God's going to build out there. It's just there's another way I thought that he was going to use that money to do it, but he's going to get glory no matter what. And so, all righty. Hebrews chapter 13. How many see the word of God there? I want to speak to you about angels tonight. Angels. It's been on my heart the last few days, and I just thought I'd share a few things with you about angels. By the way, Brother David will teach us about angels in the coming months. Once we're done with Romans, he'll be doing it for the Bible Institute, and you might want to consider taking that class. I'm just going to give you a little light little outline sketch tonight. He'll have an in-depth thing on angels, so you might want to consider that. All righty. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Let's stand for reading God's Word. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Good to see you tonight. God bless each one of you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Boy, you know what? We ought to love one another and try to encourage one another. There's so much hate and harm and hurtful things on the outside. Man, we need to try to uplift each other. There's so much going against people on the outside. Church has got to be a refuge, amen? And let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful. I couldn't believe, Mike, that missionary that was with us last Sunday, we gave him a fruit basket and a few bucks to go to Walmart with. And he said, no one's ever treated him that good. What are other churches doing? Where's brotherly love? Where's Christian charity? By the way, thank you for the way you blessed him. Yeah, over $500 came in, I believe it was. Amen. Yes, he was, wasn't he, Bud? Thank you for being a blessing to him. And I'm glad he was a blessing to each one of you. And he's an old timer, Bud. There's a few less of Mohegan still left, amen. But God bless you. And Robert's got his messages up on the website if you know somebody wanted to hear them. All right, I'll start reading again. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. A preacher, could that happen in 2006? Yeah, I believe it could. I don't know of any, but I believe it can possible. Because angels are real. Angels are real. And I'm not walking in the tubes tonight. I haven't popped any pills. I'm not going charismatic on you. Angels have been around before the creation of earth. God created angels. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray we can be a blessing tonight. Lord, this is just a thought you put on my heart a few days ago, and I just stayed warm in my heart, and I believe you want me to teach it. So help me be an encouragement to our folks. Someone needs to hear this tonight. Maybe help them, encourage them about angels. And Lord, I pray you'll bless all that we say and do, and may Christ be glorified and lifted up in all that we say and do. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible teaches us that angels are real. Don't deny that angels exist. Angels are real. They're not a figment of imagination. They're not made up. Angels are real. You're going to see them when you go to heaven. I believe there's probably angels right in our building right now, although you can't see them. I believe there's angels right here among us right now, but you can't see them. When you study about angels, there are approximately over, Brother Brent, there's over 300 references. 300, from Genesis to Revelation, there are over 300 references to angels. I wonder if God wants us to know about them. Can anyone say amen? Over 300 references. There are all kinds of angelic beings. I'm telling you, you've got the seraphims, which had six wings. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2 would tell you that. Then you got the cherubims. Those are, remember when Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right in there, that when he made Adam and Eve leave, he sent a cherubim with a fiery, with a sword with fire to keep them out of the, so they couldn't get to the tree of life. How do you remember that? And so, in Genesis 18, God sent angels to Abraham. Remember, he was sitting there and three of them came. Well, of course, one was two angels and one was the Lord. And angels are recorded from Genesis through Revelation. Angels are spoken about all through the Bible from cover to cover, from beginning to end, from front to back. For instance, number one, God sent angels. Are you still in Hebrews? God sent angels to watch over you and me. And some of us use them more than others. Like Wilson when he drives his car. I guarantee you, there must be a whole one on each bumper. Amen? Each fender. All four. Probably on each side. You know what? I think they're just all the way around. There must be about 30 around that whole vehicle. Notice Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. Hebrews 1, 7. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Notice what he called those angels? He maketh his angels spirits. How many see that? Are you with me in Hebrews 1:7? Look at verse 14. Look, Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits, angels? Ministering spirits, angels? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. If you are saved, you're an heir of salvation. And God has appointed angels to watch over you. He's appointed them to watch over me. Every born again, washed in the blood, child of God, has got angels watching over them. Can anyone say amen? When you read the scriptures, angels are always present with the Savior and the saints. For instance, let me give you just a few illustrations. Quickly, and I'm just going to try to give you a few little light things tonight. Again, I said that there's a regular course that we teach here in our institute on angels that Brother David teaches. At Christ's birth, look at Luke 2:13. Luke 2:13. I'm going to do these real quickly tonight. At the birth of Christ. And suddenly there was an angel, multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. A multitude of angels praising God for the birth of Christ. Can anyone say amen? Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, you'll see that Jesus is taken up and attempted for 40 days. Matthew 4, look at 4:1. How many's got Matthew 4:1? Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he just kept going on. And there, for 40 days, he was tempted. Now, look at verse 11. That's another whole message right there. And I'm going to focus on angels tonight. Notice when Jesus removes himself from that place after 40 days. Look at verse 11. The devil leaveth him. By the way, he just kept quoting the word of God to him. You want to beat the devil in your life? Just beat him to death with the word of God. The devil leaveth him and said, behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Did you see where angels came even to Jesus, Jack, to minister to him? How many see that? He leaveth them. The devil leaveth them. And then after the devil left, angels came and ministered to Christ. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him, which is Jesus. And so angels, all through the scripture. Look at Acts chapter 1. In verse 10, Jesus rose the third day, walked on this earth for 40 days. And he ascends back to heaven. And when he ascends back to heaven, guess what? There's angels there. Acts 1:10. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Those are angels. By the way, I believe everyone has at least two. I believe every Christian has at least two. Wilson, he probably has more than two, but most people have two. He's got two right now. He's not driving. Amen. And they call the reinforcements off when they get on the turnpike. Anyways, two men stood by them with white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up in heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner. And so there was angels there when he was born, angels when he rose, angels when he was weakened during his ministry here, and angels when he went up. Can anyone say amen? In Luke 16:22, when the beggar died, Lazarus. How many got Luke 16:22? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We teach you that in Romans class. In the heart of the earth, there was, before Christ died on the cross, Old Testament saints that were saved went to the heart, they're called paradise. Now they're ascended because Christ, the Lamb had been slain. Now they're up in heaven with Christ. The Old Testament states that anybody who dies now goes immediately to be with Christ. But I want you to see, to be answered from the body to be present with the Lord, the scripture says in Corinthians 5, 6, and 8. But notice it says in at verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, plural. How many see that? Listen, at Lazarus' death, angels escorted him, Brother Jack, to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, angels are real, and they play a real part in your life. Don't turn, but in Acts chapter 12, when you read about Paul being in jail, an angel came and got him out of there. You know, I mean, all through the scripture, an angel stopped the Balaam's mule. Remember, he stopped. I could stand up here for one solid hour, Brother Carl, and just quote you things about angels in the Bible. But I want to just give you a few thoughts about it tonight. Now, I'd like you to turn to the book of Psalms. I want to show you a few things from Psalms about angels. First of all, there are thousands times thousands. And by the way, can I mention this also? That when Jesus... when they took Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane, they came out. Remember, the one man, Malchus, cut Jesus' ear off and stuff. He said, get back, put down your sword, Peter. He said, don't you know I could have, in Matthew 26:53, he said, Peter, don't you know I could pray to my Father and he would call 12 legions of angels right now? Now, I know that we have gospel singers here, and there's a song, 10,000 angels. Can I tell you that in a legion, there's 5,000? If you took 5 times 12, that's 60,000. There was more than 10,000 angels. 10,000 angels stood around the cross as they sing the song. And I agree, there was 10,000, but there was more than, even 12 legions is 60,000. But when you study the scripture, you're going to find out that the angels are so numerable, it's unbelievable. Thousands on top of thousands. Look at Psalms 68:17, and let's just look at one little scripture, but it talks about how many angels there are. 60, Psalm 68, verse 17, the chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. How many see that? Oh, there's all kinds of angels. I'm going to tell you right now, there's angels everywhere. And angels are, by the way, look at Psalms 103, verse 20. Angels are very powerful. They're very powerful. You don't want to mess with an angel. Even the weakest angel is a bad stick. Now, God's got one mighty, mighty warrior there above all of them, Archangel Michael. He's definitely the guy that can really do the thumping. But and I'll show you that at the end of the scriptures here. But look at Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. How many see that? Angels are powerful. Angels are, listen, when you read the scriptures, how many angels did God use just to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah? Sent two in there. Just two. Listen, angels are, you don't want, by the way, when you study Genesis 6, I'll show you where God has angels and the devil has fallen angels. In Genesis 6, it says that the sons of God came in and habitated with the women of the earth. They had giants. They were renowned and had great strength. They got that great strength from those angels. I'm going to tell you, angels are so powerful, they could wipe out this whole earth with nothing. Folks, when we get to heaven and see those angels, we're going to be just spellbound over how the strength of them. They're so mighty, it's unbelievable. But they're all, how I put it in baseball terms, they're all Babe Ruths. Amen? They all got the power to knock the ball out of there. And I guess that's the best way to put it. Notice also in that same verse, not only angels powerful, but angels obey God's commands. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Boy, you know, if there's anything we can learn from those angels of God, we ought to listen. They hearken to God's word. I wonder, do you and I hearken to it? Do we listen to it? Do we obey it? Are we anxious to please our Lord when God tells us to do something? Are we anxious like they are? They're anxious to obey the command of God. Are we anxious to obey God's commands? You know, even these angels are smart enough to obey God's command. Can't even say amen. Then, I couldn't leave this out. Angels have their own food. Look at Psalm 78:25. Yes, angels do eat. Angels do eat. They really do. And I'm not kidding you. Psalms 78:25. Men did eat angels' food. Some of the ladies' favorite things, and Rose and Mary made one today. Angel food cake. But look at it. Men did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Actually, he was referring, I believe, to manna that he sent down at that time, the Old Testament people, back in Moses' day, like a bread. And so they're literally it. Angels do eat. Freddie, they probably have a kind of a angel pizza up there, amen? A pita bread or a pizza or something, amen? And so I got a feeling if they're eating, we're going to eat too, bud, amen? So that's a nice some angel food. And so they do eat, and they actually have their food. And at God's command, they protect saints of God. Look at Psalms 90, verse 11 and 12. Psalms 90, verse 11 and 12. I'm sorry, it's 91. Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, I might want to make a note of this. This is a reference, and this is a prophecy. You remember when I read to you earlier, Matthew chapter 4? If you'd read Matthew 4, 6 later on, you'll see that Satan, this is a quote from what Satan said to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. And so, this is referring to that. But I'm going to tell you, God has got angels to watch over his children. And then, Gabriel. We always saw Gabriel blow your trumpet, don't we? And Gabriel, he's a messenger for God. Gabriel was sent to David. Daniel. David was sent to Daniel. If you look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, why don't I do that? Look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. Gabriel always brought messages from God to people. He brought them to Mary and Joseph. Luke 1:26. He brought told Joseph not to worry, and told Mary she's going to have a baby from heaven. He told Zacharias and Elizabeth about John the Baptist. He said, you're going to name him John. What I'm saying, Gabriel was a messenger for God. And he spoke to Daniel in chapter 8, verse 16 of the book of Daniel. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Elah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand this vision. And then if you look one more chapter up, again he's recorded, 9:21 of Daniel. 9:21. Yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. By the way, there's another thing. They fly swiftly. Angels can move out faster than the speeding bullet. Superman's got nothing over angels. Amen. And Spider-Man, all of them, they got nothing over these angels. And Gabriel, and he touched me. Gabriel was a messenger from God, always brought messages to people, important messages that God wanted them to know, like the birth of Christ, like the birth of John the Baptist, and the name of John the Baptist. You see, Gabriel and I told Zacchaeus and Elizabeth about John the Baptist. Gabriel actually told them the name John, his name. You see, John now, he got his authority from God. He got his name from heaven. Can anyone say amen? His name was John the Baptist, and he got it from heaven. All righty. And so we see it, that God had Gabriel, a messenger. Then go back to the back of your Bible and look at the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And look at verse 9. Right before Revelation, we are told that Michael, the archangel, he contended for the Moses of body with the devil. In Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Can you imagine? Remember, God didn't let him enter in. He let him look out and over. And then, even though he was still, his eyes had, the Bible said his eyes were not abated, he could still see, he was in good shape. Moses, because he smote the rock twice, Moses had an early death. Moses committed the sin unto death that a Christian could commit. In other words, he died premature. Moses did. And can you imagine if Satan could have gotten inside Moses' body, the people would have followed him. He could have led them all astray. But Michael the archangel came in and really, you're going to find out in Revelation 12, he puts another thumb to Satan too. Here's how I describe Michael the archangel for God. He's God's warrior. He's God's battler. He's God's enforcer. And to put it in your terms, He's God's bouncer. Amen. God says, get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's what we call a bouncer. Amen. And look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Michael is, the archangel is really powerful. The kids would say, eat the man. Eat the man. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, or verse 7 rather, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, see, he's over angels, because he's an archangel, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Watch. Notice something else about this. Satan has angels, just like God has. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You know, the Bible's pretty plain. He's telling you who it is. You ain't got to guess. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Did you ever notice something, Brother Billy? Everything the Lord has, Satan tries to mimic it. God has a Bible. Satan tried to counterfeit with the NIV and all the rest of the perversions. Can anyone say amen? God had a Savior, Christ. There'll be on the opposite, the devil have the Antichrist. God had a virgin birth, and his son rose from the dead. I believe the baby, the Antichrist, will come, will grow and be killed. The scripture says he'll be killed, and he'll raise from the dead. Hello? Stay in Revelation 12. I'm not done there yet. But I'm going to tell you, God's got angels. The devil's got angels. I mean, you could go on and on. Everything the Lord has. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Like God's got his Trinity, Satan's got his Trinity. I mean, you could make a list 5 foot long of how Satan tries to mimic and counterfeit everything that God has. The biggest thing he tries to counterfeit is God's Bible. Don't let them slip you up. There's only one Bible, and you got the King James in your hand. Amen. Notice, he was cast out, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Now has come salvation, because Michael whooped him, man. Put the hurt on him, Freddie. Grabbed him right by his ear and twisted it and said, 'Get out of here!'" I love it. Eddie, he put the whoop on him. Sean, we're going to be cheering, amen? And I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. And for the accuser of our brethren," who's the brethren? Those that are saved, "is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." He's constantly going up there trying to accuse Christians before God. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony." I want to stop. I'm going to show something. I've been teaching Romans. And on Tuesday night we teach the book of Romans. Jack, come on up here, Jack. Come here, Freddie. We teach in Romans, we're in the great doctrine of justification. And justification means this, more than being saved, But justification means this, that God sees us just as though we've never sinned. God sees us just as though we were never in the lost, fallen race of Adam. When you're born, you were born in the lost race of Adam. When you're born again, you're born in the second Adam, which is the last Adam. Not the second, it's the last. The last Adam, which is Christ. And now, you were born with condemnation. But when you get saved, you get justification imputed to you. Not that you deserved it, but Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, won't charge. But he takes the sin away and he imputes his righteousness. Now watch this. You be God. Freddie, can you be the devil for right now?
Oh, yeah.
Daphne's always saying you got the devil in you. Just kidding. Now watch. You're God, okay? And I need one more person. Come here, Dale.
You're lucky.
And the devil. You're going to get to be Jesus. Aren't you glad? Now watch this. First of all, hold on, devil. Hold on, God. When I got saved, I asked Jesus to save me. How many are with me? Jesus had no sin. Jesus was perfect. The Bible says, for God had made him to be sin, Christ, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Brent, when I got saved and I took Christ as my Savior, he is righteous. He imputed his righteousness to me. Even though I'm not righteous, I've got his imputed righteousness. Okay? And so all God sees now, he doesn't see my sin at all. He sees the imputed righteousness of his Son. Are you with me? Now watch. Go tell God, that, devil, that I yell at somebody and hit somebody or something. Yeah. Look, yeah. See? But now, see, you don't see that, do you, Jack?
He's
trying to accuse me, but why don't he see me? That's right. That's right. Go ahead, try to get him to see me with devil. Yes, yell, scream at him. Yeah. You see, he can't see me because all he sees is the blood. And the right, yeah. He just broke the TV watching you don't want to watch me when I watch Michigan, Ohio State. That's for definitely sure. Go Bucks. So here's what happens. He goes up and accuses a brother constantly. Thank God we've got the blood atonement. Thank you, fellas. Now watch. Look what it says there in verse 11. And they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How many see that? And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and see if the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Look up here. Satan's running out of time. How many are glad Satan's running out of time? I'm really glad. I'm so glad he's running out of time. Now, listen to me. The devil's real. He's got fallen angels, and they're real. And by the way, this happens during the trib. You say, I thought this happened. No. Listen, look up here. He's still going up there accusing people. How many are with me? And then when he gets thrown down during the trib, that's right now, even though he don't get saved, he has entrance to God. Let me show you. Look at Job chapter 2. Look at Job chapter 2. If you find the book of Psalms, Job is right in front of Psalms. Look at 2:1. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God, these are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, I'm in Job chapter 2, verse 2, whence thou comest? And Satan answered, Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Yeah, he's always on the prowl. The scripture says in the New Testament, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Watch out, he'd like to devour you. Are you still with me? But notice, they were in heaven. Sometimes that word, and I wanted to show you this. The sons of God refer to angels. How many see that? The sons of God. Now, I know we're called the children. We're called the children of God. But this here is referring to angels here. And notice, what happened to Satan? Well, look at the book. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 12. Son of man. I mean, Ezekiel chapter 28. He was in Job, so just go a few books up. Keep going to, you'll see Isaiah and you'll see Jeremiah. How many are with me? Okay. Son of man, I'm in Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation. You know that word lamentation means lament. You're going to cry. It's something to cry about. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because he even wrote a book of lamentations, a book of weeping. Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Oh, Satan was the most beautiful creation of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. I'm in Ezekiel 28:13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardust, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tablets. What I'm trying to tell you is, see all these stones, Jack? He had that beauty. Not only was Satan beautiful, he had the most beautiful voice you ever heard. Instrumental. Look what it says. And thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. There hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones. Thou wast perfect in thy way. From that day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. You know, Satan fell. And when he fell, he took a bunch of angels with him. There's a bunch of them that sided with him. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Turn back a few books. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Yeah, he lost his throne. He lost his power. He lost his blessing with God. For thou hast said, by the way, there's five I wills here. You get prideful, you get proud, you watch out, you're ready to fall. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon, this is what Satan said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And by the way, that's where God lives, in the sides of the north. That's why they put Santa Claus in the north. But I won't get on that. Everything, listen, the world takes the scriptures and tries to use them. I'm telling you. not against Santa Claus. But he really is they mocked him with God. Red stands for the blood, the red and white, the purity. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Who knows when you're awake and when you're sleeping? The Lord. And you better be good for goodness sake. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. And Jesus is coming to town. You see. And so, we had fun. I have fun every year at Christmas. I don't hate, but I just like to have. I like to have truth. When my kids were small, we always had fun with Christmas. I always told them right from the get-go that Santa Claus was not real, and I told them that it was just a fun thing for people to have. I always let them have fun. We always had fun at Christmas. We had Christmas tree, Christmas presents, all kinds of, you know, never. But I always was trying to see if you lied to your kids about Santa Claus. When you go to town about Christ, they might think you're going to lie to them too. How many are with me? And so I've always tried to be honest with my children. I made sure they didn't attack any other little children. I emphasized that if they did, they'd get a spanking. And I literally would belt with a belt. And but I always wanted my children to know truth. We had lots of fun. We you know, did everything else, had Christmas lights and bulbs and everything, you know, the whole bill of wax, didn't shut it off. I wasn't the Scrooge of Christmas, but I wanted my kids to understand what Christmas really was. Amen? Now, how did I get that? I don't know, Ruthie. Every time I see that, but God, see, there's three heavens. There's a first heaven where the birds fly, then there's a second heaven where the stars are. Then the third heaven's where God lives, and that's in the north. And so if you ever want to try to find God, just keep going north, because you won't make it. You'll die before you get there, because the only way you get there is you got to have the blood of Jesus. Amen? But that's where God reigns. He reigns in the north. Okay. Now, I got to get back to these angels, because I can finish this up and be done by 8 o'clock. Look what he said. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And he will. And all his angels that follow him. Look at. That's why hell was made. Did you know that's why God made hell? He made hell for Satan and his angels that followed him. Hell was made for Satan and the fallen angels. Hell was never made for lost people. Because God, it was not God's will that any should be lost. That's why Christ came. It's God's will, I was telling the crowd last night, it's God's will that all people be saved. And if all people would have got saved, the only ones that would have went to hell was Satan and the fallen angels. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Now, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who have all men to be saved and come in the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:4. And so, but look at Matthew 25. God wants all people to be saved. That's why Christ came. He said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save them which was lost. In Matthew 25:41, but God never sent anybody to hell. They send themselves by not receiving the gift of eternal life through Christ. But look what he says in chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them, depart on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. How do you see that? God's got angels. Satan's got fallen angels. And those fallen angels, they're causing a lot of trouble now, but one day they're going to the pits. There's actually some right now. I didn't have time. I just now thought about it. If I would have thought much. There's some now in chains of darkness, right? Even right now. Scripture teaches they're in chains of darkness, tied up. But I'm glad that, look at Revelation. I'll close this out. I'll give you two more scriptures. Look at Revelation chapter 21, 20 rather. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Satan and his fallen angels, they've got a destiny. And if you'll look at chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's got a place for him one day. He's caused a lot of damage. But one day, Satan and his fallen angels, which we call demons and imps, one day they're going to have an eternal destination of judgment. But let me give you one scripture to close on. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, in the back of your Bible. We're talking about angels tonight. There'll be angels in heaven. There'll be angels in hell. God's got angels. Satan's got angels. When we die, angels take us to heaven. When a lost person dies, demons take them to hell. Just like angels escort us to heaven, we that are saved, demons take the lost people and escort them down to the dungeons of hell. Boy, I'm glad I'm going up. Amen. And did you know angels would love to look in? I was holding my Bible today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And I promise I'll close. It's 8 o'clock. You know, we don't really realize. I don't, Marty. I'm just sitting there today with my hands on the Bible. This Bible is so wonderful. Louise, God literally gave us. Jan, this is God breathed. I mean, I've actually got the engrafted Word of God from God in my hands. And many days people never read it. We throw it. I mean, the Bible is precious. It's holy. People put their coffee on it. People throw it around. Amen. I don't either, bud. But I don't think Christians have a holy reverence for this Bible. You stack things on top of it. Throw it out. Throw it in crummy on the floor. Hello? I think we ought. Listen, how many are glad that God gave us a Bible? The entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalms 119 says, it says his word it gives me light for my steps. He lights my way. Psalm 1, verse 30. I can't pull it up right now. It's Psalms 119, 130. It talks about light and he guides our steps. I wish I could pull it up, but I can't pull it up right. Look it up for me, David. Look up Psalms 119, 130. Read it to me while I'm talking here. But this is so wonderful. I really believe we all mistreat the Bible. You think about it. Let me read to you. Did you know the angels? And I'm closing. It's 8 o'clock. The angels desire to understand about this in the scriptures. God has a redemption plan for you and I through salvation through Christ. The blood of Christ was not shed for angels. The blood of Christ was shed for you and I. Not one angel is in the redemption plan. Look at 1:12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Unto whom it's revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that they do minister things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. Thank God for that gospel which we get. Unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Man, sometimes I believe angels are more excited about what God has done for us than we are ourselves. You got the scripture, mister? Read it. It might be, yeah, it might be 133 too. I'm not sure. Go ahead. Give me 130 first. Okay, give me 133. That's it. Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Yeah. Order my steps in thy word. You want to walk? Then you let the word guide your steps. Thank you, Dave. But angels, we're going to see them. Oh, there's seraphims and there's cherubims and there's a multitude of angels, different kinds, all kinds of angelic beings. Man. You know, Brother Mike, it's going to be so exciting in heaven. I think people... I'll close. I'm just now getting started. I got to close. I really think people think we're going to be up in heaven strumming a harp. And that Mike Porter's going to be there for more than 1 million years. Just blum, blum, blum. Hey, Josh, you're out of tune. Get back in tune with me. Listen to your sisters. They'll show you how to do it. No way. We're going to be doing all kinds of things. It's going to be exciting. By the way, the harp is a heavenly instrument, though. It's a great instrument. You might want to let your kids learn to play that. But we're going to have we're not just going to sit there and do nothing. It's going to be very exciting. Maybe the angels will let us have some of their food, Jack. They might not, though, because we won't let them in our Bible. All righty, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray that something we might have said would encourage our people. Lord, I thank you for angels. I believe there's some. I believe they're around. I believe they're right here, right now, even though we can't see them. I really believe that with all my heart. I know that you say all those of heir of salvation got angels. And I'd say most people here would profess to be saved. And so, Lord, I believe there's angels all around here right now. And, Father, we thank you for the ministry of angels. And, Father, I just pray that we would be more mindful of all the things that you do for us. And, Father, I pray that if there'd be any here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, let them know that you love them, that you died for them, that you rose the third day according to the Scriptures, and that eternal life is through a person, the Son of God. I wonder before we go tonight,